praise the Lord. Amen. Well, aren't you glad that he just keeps working on us and working on us and working on us? Don't throw us away, but he breaks us every now and then and puts us back together. And we're a lot better when he gets through working on us. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Lord, have mercy. I thought I was somewhere else. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now let's give him a real good hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart this morning. Amen. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Now I want you to turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Sunday morning. Let's sing a little bit more of that, Brother Harry. Give me a verse of it. Let's sing it, boys, with all our heart. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Empty and broken, I came back to him. Blessed soul, unworthy, soul scarred by sin.
Bless you. We'll let you be seated for just a bit this morning while we look at our prayer request. Brother Daniel, if you'll get ready this morning to lead us to the Lord. First of all, we've got some folks with us that we want to tell you about this morning. Praise the Lord. Sister Nola Babb, she's back in service with us today. Praise the Lord. Sister Nola, God bless your heart. Praise the Lord. She sends this note in that I would like to thank everyone for their calls, cards, most of all, for praying for me. I am so thankful to Jesus Christ for being able to be here and for his mercy and grace to me, Sister Nola Babb. God bless you, Sister Nola. Praise the Lord. Well, that's one of the pillars of this church right there. It really is. Now, we've got some more folks. We want the Fleemans. Where would they be this morning? Just raise your hand. They've not been here for just a little bit. She's been sitting right over here. Right over here they are. She sends this note in. God bless them. Give her a nice hand this morning. We want to say thank you to all those who prayed, visited, brought food, sent cards, sent messages, phone calls. God's people are the best people. And we have a great majority of them here at Happy Valley. And I say amen to that. We love you all, each and every one. God is a healer and faithful to his word. Praise the Lord. Love you all, the Fleemans. Give those folks a nice hand this morning. Now we've got somebody else that's special to us this morning. Sister Joanne Tessa is back here in the service this morning saying somebody ought to testify. She wants to thank God for her new knees, the church for all their prayers, the cards and the love, the baskets, the gifts. Praise God for being back in church. Still remember her stomach issues. I noticed as we were singing this morning on them brand new knees, she was the first one to stand up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we're just serving a wonderful risen Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Bert, Sister Barbara, back in the service. They've been absent for a few weeks. They're back last night, today. God bless those folks as well. Amen. Brother Warren and his family back in the house of the Lord. God bless Brother Warren and his family. And I'm already in trouble. I've done started naming names. But Brother Jackie Benton was here with us last night, sung for us. Did you enjoy Brother Jackie Benton? Praise the Lord. Well, we're just glad to see every one of you. Let's just give the Lord Jesus a nice hand clap of praise this morning. Praise the Lord. Our requests are as follows. Brother John Horniak sends this in to please pray for Sister Cheyenne. She recently had surgery and is having severe complications from the surgery. She needs the Lord's touch, so let's remember that need today as we pray. Brother Brandon Green sends us in for his Uncle Steve in Virginia. That's his father's brother. He's been battling cancer, and the most recent doctor's report said that he has a 10% chance of living for 3 more years. I know God is more than able to heal him. Praise God for God's perfect will in his pray for God's perfect will in his life. Thank you, and may God bless. So we'll just commit that unto the Lord. Brother Randy Scott says to please pray for my wife. She's not feeling well. Let's remember that need today as we pray. Brother Carter Lawson, an unspoken prayer request for my niece Donna. The Lord knows all about that. Joe Britt is very, very sick this morning. We want to remember him in prayer. His health is just really deteriorating, so we want to remember Joe Britt in prayer that the Lord would be mindful of his situation. Please continue to pray for Sister Maria Sponsia. She's recovering from surgery. She is doing better but still needs our prayer, so let's remember that. Let me give you this praise report from Brother Byron Palmer. We turned in a prayer request last night. News this morning, my niece's husband, Ken Craig, has no stroke, no TIAs, which is many strokes. His heart problems are stable. His heart problems are stable at the moment. Vitals are good. He also has some eye issues. Praising God for what he's done. Praying for a complete healing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. We'll just commit that unto the Lord this morning. Brother Pinky, Sister Phyllis want us to remember their daughter, Sean Hodge, in prayer, who's in the hospital, has stage 4 of liver damage. Also pray for their daughter, Michelle, who is very sick. So let's remember those girls this morning, that the Lord, those ladies, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Sister Peggy Larson, and she's a streamer from Wisconsin. Dear Bride of Christ, I've been diagnosed with a tumor between my brain stem and cerebellum. They say it is benign. I will be having surgery within the next week or two. I have asked the Lord to detach it if it is attached and to shrink it so that they can say to shrink it, for they say it is large. Also, there will be no negative effect from all of it. My prayer is for God's perfect will according to his word. With God, all things are possible, and I claim the blood of Jesus Christ. And with his stripes, I am healed. To God be all the glory and honor, love and blessings to all. Sister Peggy Larson, we'll remember that prayer request this morning. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Hey, we've heard great testimonies so far this morning. God is real. His power is so real. Do you love him with all your heart? Could we stand this morning, Brother Daniel? God bless you as you pray over these prayer requests this morning, buddy.
Amen. Sister Tetsu had the knee replacement. She had 2 of them replaced. And I saw her walking in church this morning. I had 1 replaced and I thought I was going to die. So it just shows a difference there. And we just thank God for that. Amen. God's good to us, isn't he? Sister Noah, good to have her. And you know, I'm like Brother Louie. He gets called names. I just don't call names because I forget names a whole lot of times. But God knows every name that's in this list today. Not only does he know your name, but he knows your address, even your telephone number. Amen. He's a great God. Let's pray for our needs this morning. Heavenly Father, We want to thank you again for this opportunity to be in this service today. Thank you, Lord, for your blood that was shed upon the cross. Thank you for your stripes whereby we are healed. God, we thank you for every promise that you've given to us in your word. And God, we claim each one of them this morning. God, we praise you for this service today. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for our pastor, God, that spoke to us last night, for the words that he said unto us. God, now we pray today that you'll move for the needs of these people. God, we bring each need, each request before your throne. God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you'll move wherever the need may be. God, those over the internet in different countries, we pray that you'll be with them also today, Lord Jesus. God, we commit every part of this service into your hands. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise. Amen.
Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor today with us in the service, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. Those that are streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song. This is a beautiful spring morning that we've got going on outside right now. I believe he's coming back just like he said. You believe that with all your heart? Are you going to help me sing it? Are you going to help me sing it, Happy Valley? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise this morning.
Hi, everybody.
High upon a mountain, from where he ascended.
Yeah.
sweetie, we want to live like he's coming back this evening. Go ahead and plant our taters in the morning, but I believe he's coming back soon, don't you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Oh, let's give him one more good hand clap of praise if you love him this morning.
Sing that second verse for me again. Praise the Lord.
Won't I believe the time is nearing?
Yes, we do.
That will soon see his appearing.
Thank you, Lord.
This could be the hour.
I want you to sing it like
Lord,
you believe it.
I wish this would be the day.
Thank you, Lord.
When the bride of every nation.
Hallelujah.
Starts to lose gravitation.
You're just singing so good this morning. God bless you. Gonna let you be seated for just a little while. Brother Brandon Green, he gets ready to come and sing for us this morning. Brother Harry has a song for us after he does. Don't you? I knew that you knew you did. I just didn't want to surprise you again. But we're gonna sing a little chorus this morning. Our brother Brandon is getting ready to sing for us, and I requested that he sing We're Going Home. I love that song, the way he sang it, because it's a true song. We're going home. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. This is the quietest place you're ever going to live in. So you might as well get ready for some noise. Somewhere, there's going to be racket going on. There's going to be noise going on. So just get ready to just go ahead and get used to the noise here. You'll be ready for it when you get wherever you're going. I'm going yonder. How about you? Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Harry. Let's sing Let the Worshippers Arise just before Brother Brandon sings this morning. Sing that chorus. You lead us in it. You know it so much better than I do.
Let the worshippers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing.
Oh, yes.
I'm surrendering my. Sing. I'm surrendering my all.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated this morning, Brother Brandon. We love you, buddy.
Thank you, Brother.
Love to hear you sing. God bless our brother.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to try a different song. I know Brother Louie's going to get me later. But I'll make up for it, hopefully. This song's called Mighty is the Power of the Cross. What can take a dying man and raise him up to life again? What can heal a wounded soul? What can make us white as snow? What can fill the emptiness? And what can mend our brokenness? Our brokenness. Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the Holy Cross. Life to lift us from the fall. Mighty is the power of the cross. What restores our faith in God? What reveals the Father's love? What can lead the wayward home? What can melt a heart of stone? What can free the guilty ones? What can save and overcome? And overcome. Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the whole. It's a miracle to me. It's still a mystery. It's a miracle to me. The power of God to those who
stepped a pure and holy God, and in awesome solitude he stood alone. Not one faint star to give him light, just endless rolling, maddening heights. Yet somehow, through all the darkness, he could see. He saw mountains high and lofty. He saw valleys lush and green, babbling brooks and wildflowers growing. Even heard a robin sing. But he felt a strange compassion as close to love as pain could be. Standing out there in tomorrow, he saw me. He saw me and his likeness. He saw me like him, pure, clean, and holy, spotless, white within. But he saw me bound in heavy chains and longed to set me free. But he knew if I became like him, he must become like me. So Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed me white as snow. Can you sing that? Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed me white as snow.
Jesus. It's just overwhelming, isn't it? It's just absolutely overwhelming. The grace of God. I just say, hallelujah. You do know what the word hallelujah means, I suppose. One of the Greek words is that it means is praise ye Yah. J-A-H. Yah. Praise ye Yah. So when you're saying hallelujah, that's what you're doing. Praising Yah, Jehovah. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Verse 6. The day has arrived. We will read about her. Verses 6 through 10, and about him, verse 11. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's, 80 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Now this is her and what she's riding on. Verse 11 is him. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals. Now listen to this. In the day of his, of the gladness of his heart. In the day of the gladness of his heart. Let's pray today and ask God to help us. Father, we are so awed by your presence. Every time we come into your great courts, whether it's in church or at home or wherever it is that we sense you pulling us into that august place, we count it such an honor. Today, Lord, we have come again that we can sing and worship and pray and hear your word, and we want you to know that we are grateful for this opportunity. May you come, Lord Jesus, take your word and speak to us, I pray. May we be benefited by our gathering together today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It had been probably two nights, now going into the third day. Things had been very anxious back at the castle, the palace. A lot of preparation had been going on. All kinds of food, flowers, different things that was being set for the day. She had been in journey not really that long, but must have seemed like quite a long time for her under such anticipation. As they would have done in those days, they would have already sent a runner forth, which would have let them know their progress. Generally, in this time frame, they would use two runners. One would go within 30 minutes to an hour. Another runner would follow through to see if there had been any change. They used them also in the time of war. By now, this would have been in the morning of the third day. A couple of messengers would have already come to Jerusalem to let them know where they were. The preparation had been thought through. The anticipation of the king himself made all of them quite nervous. Even though he had entertained lots of great people, kings, queens, all types of royal people had been into his home, but they had never seen him. With such excitement. And they could sense by his own reflection of what he was feeling, it must be a great day. So naturally that made them a little bit more worse themselves, because they wanted everything to be just right. They know by now that they're just a few miles out of Jerusalem. She's doing well. The messengers have already let him know how she's doing. They've been encouraging her and talking to her and telling her about his love. She's not backed out yet, and they don't figure she's going to. The latest report is she's smiling like a possum. That's what you want to hear on a wedding day. They're convinced she's going through with it. Hallelujah. The first messenger has come through on the third morning, and he has related it to the king. So the preparations are in full swing. All the food is being selected. This was a very great time, so they would have used some of the very best of foods. People with very great culinary artistry would have been tapped. People who had ability and design. People who knew how to decorate and arrange things. It was all going so rapidly. Everything was coming together. The streets were being swept. There was not one stone that would be left unturned. Everything must look right, be right, taste right for the right kind of woman. Amen. As they're getting closer, she herself is becoming more anxious, knowing that she's going to see him. I tell you, friend, I can't think of anything in my heart today that would excite me any greater than to see our Lord Jesus. They would have gotten several types of fowl, different types of meat, vegetables, honey, dried nuts. They would have had all types of great foods. But most importantly, here she comes. But this is her day. And he wants everything just right for her. Again, another messenger comes from the bodyguards. Everything is right on time. What time do you want us to arrive? So the advent of Solomon and the merging of the Shulamite must be timed just right. In this stage of her journey, again, she's so overwhelmed by this grace. All she can do is weep some, have joy in her heart, still trying to understand how could this happen to her. It's so great that it's even got the attention of angels. Angels have peered into this to try to comprehend what is going on. I'm speaking of her and of you in a parallel. I'm afraid that we who are saved today and on our way to the great promised land of God do not fully appreciate and comprehend what we hold within our souls this very day. The royal people of the court must have totally been overwhelmed that this little girl would be able to move the heart of such a king. He could have had any woman he wanted. He married Pharaoh's daughter. He married one of the Assyrian king's daughters. He married one of the kings from Babylon's daughters. He could have married any woman he wanted. But he chose her. Oh, hallelujah. None of the rest of those church ages, women, had done for him what this one was fixing today. It was beyond explanation. It was as if all the fulfillment of his very being was now reaching this place of culmination. The people of the city were excited as they come nearer. They now see in the distance, very, very close, maybe up the Kidron Valley, which would have been the direction from where she had lived. Jerusalem, of course, being built up high on a hill. Coming up through the Kidron Valley, as it would have intertwined, Elijah had walked right up that same step. Different things had happened in the scriptures, but nothing like this. Elijah was a great man. Solomon wasn't going to marry Elijah. I thank God for God sending to us Elijah the prophet. But let me just be honest and frank with you this morning. I'm not here to marry Elijah the prophet. God didn't send him to marry the bride. He sent him to get a bride ready to marry Christ the Word. Amen. Not saying that disrespectful now. We certainly appreciate the prophet's place. But I'm afraid many folks around this message have fell more in love with him than they have with Jesus Christ. I say that to our detriment if we have. By now the smoke is arising so high. The fragrance that is coming from around the caravan. They all know that it's her. It's her who will be seen later coming from Bozrah, leaning on her beloved and him with dyed garments on, signifying his act of redemption. By now, the anticipation is running from the kitchen to the wineries to every aspect of the whole city. Is now under this nervous, anxious tension that is created. I wonder today if we could break beyond Jerusalem. And if we'd be able to peer down into another city. Where the gates have already been hung. And the streets have already been made. And the angelic beings are there this very day. Waiting with anticipation your arrival. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. I imagine the bodyguards as they come closer, they are still on keen alert. They're not going to let down their guard until she is safely in the presence of the king. Let me tell you something, Happy Valley, when I will quit watching over you as a shepherd who was willing to give his life. Let me share with you this morning when I will lay down my burden for you as the sheep of God. When we enter into the change, and I know you have finally made it. I'll lay down my Bible, I'll quit praying. I quit spending sleepless nights when I know you have arrived safely. It's no time. I'm older now than I was 30 years ago when I came here, double my age. I've got more wrinkles, more weary, more tired, more strain under the battle. But there's no time to stop now just because we're all older. It's no time to stop now, even because we're closer to home. We must keep focusing on the journey. And one goal in mind, to bring you safely into the presence of Jesus Christ, the Word. But by now they know their burden. Before long, it's going to very soon be transferred. They themselves can be able to rest. They fulfilled their charge. Oh, I can't wait myself to stand there that day when the men of God, the prophet of God, of course, will stand there first. And he'll be judged, and if he's accepted, and he will be, then we'll go in on his teaching. But the other foes of the ministry that stand there today, Brother David, Brother Andrew in Poland, Brother Darrell down in Mexico with the Maya Indians.
different brothers giving their strengths, giving their health, giving their body for the cause of Jesus Christ. Not to build up a kingdom for themselves or a following for themselves, but to be able to minister to the Queen of Heaven. We ought to thank God for such men. Oh my. I want to stand there that day when these great men of singing last night of Brother Benton, how many trips he's made to different places and up jungles and go up boats and mile, all kinds of different avenues that many men have never gone. The sacrifices that are made, and now we see him as his years are creeping up and he can't go as he did anymore. But I'm so grateful that our God has kept a valid and true record of all we've done. And one day when Brother Benton stands up there and the judgment seat is not to be judged, but when the records of all handed out and the rewards are handed out, I want to be standing there and watching our brother, him and Sister Wilma, as they walk up there, a young man and a young woman. And Jesus says, you prayed for my people. You sung to my people. You preached to my people. Enter into the joys of the Lord, my son, which were prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Oh, don't you want to be there that day, friends? Oh, hallelujah to God. I can hear it now as it comes closer. They know by the march, it is his loyal bodyguards. They can tell by the aroma and the scent that is coming before her and with her that it is her. The incense is being offered is her prayers under the supplication of the atonement of the blood of the Lord Jesus. It's her. She's still praying. You can hear her. You see, the bride is a praying people. The bride isn't just a church-going people. The bride isn't just a holiness-looking people. But the bride is a praying people. And we don't just pray for our needs and our desires and our requests, but we pray because we love to fellowship with our Lord Jesus. I can see them as they leave the Kidron Valley. They come up to where Gethsemane would be many, many years later. And they start the ascent up to the side of the mountain. The city has now been enlarged by David to where the Tower of David, which sits on the side facing over toward where Gethsemane would be, down near Bethpage. As it faces that way, and here they come into the main gate, the gate which is now blocked, which you cannot get into, which would be the eastern side. As they start up into it, everybody of the whole city is now waiting breathlessly as they stand there, and they know she's coming. And they see her as she has left her home, and they see him as he has left his home, and somewhere they're going to meet in the middle. Imagine as the guards begin to stand up, and here comes King Solomon, and they stand out before him, Your Royal Highness. We have delivered your charge. We have delivered the lady of your heart. We have delivered, sir, your queen. Maybe now Solomon grabs a hold of the curtain. They set down the palanquin. She starts trembling because of his presence. He reaches over and pulls back the purple, the scarlet, the color of crimson of redemption. Reaches and gets her by the hand. She now steps out. As she does, the people look at her and say, oh, what's happened to her? She was just here 3 months ago. I saw her. She don't even look like the same woman. What's happened to her? Look at her. She has the air of a queen. She's not that young, nervous, giddy type of girl that she was when he started dating her. You remember how she was? She was so frolicky and just, you know, just carry on in the grace of God. And my, just so immature and so green. But look at her now. She walks like a queen. Has she been to queen school? No, she's been going to church. This is our queen school, brother, sister. This is where we are hearing the word of God on how to behave like a queen. Imagine as he takes her by the hand and she steps out. Beautiful, young, but with an air. And he takes her by the hand, smiles and nods his head. She, with her long hair hanging down her back, looks in his eyes and nods. And the angels, I mean the people, are standing there. Have you ever seen him like this before? Look at him. He's bursting. He's bursting. Have you ever seen Solomon? I thought it was something when he made those stables. I thought it was something when he built the house of God. I thought it was something when he done all these great achievements. I have never seen him so elated. And what was it that was doing this to him? A humble little peasant girl. You overwhelm him so much that the angels of God watch how he deals with you and they are perplexed with the manifold wisdom of the way God deals in redemption in your life. The creation of the universe must have been overwhelming. The multitude of stars that he's made, the gases and all the things that he's done, the millions of species of animals and birds and insects must have been overwhelming. But that's not what they study. What they study is you. I'm sorry if you think I'm on the wrong page today, but this morning, before daylight, the Lord God come and change my direction for this service today. I was already studied, I thought, and already ready for today's service. All I need to do was print it out. But apparently somebody here needed to hear another direction. We, like the Shulamite, are on our way, not to a wedding, but to a marriage supper. You see, we are already wed. We're not going to a wedding. We're going to the marriage supper. Notice this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. I want you to listen to an insight that one of the original bodyguards of the apostolic age had of the coming of the advent of the Lord Jesus. When he shall become to be glorified in his saints. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. I thought I was the one going to be glorified. I am. And so are you. But do you understand there is an element of his glory which he has not yet entered into and cannot until you rise to meet him. Already the praise of angels, already the great position that he has in the paradise of God, yet he now awaits an element of his glorification which cannot be entered into until you bring it to him. He's going to be glorified in his saints. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. His chief glory, his preeminent glory, will not be revealed until the rapture. Notice this, St. John 17, verse 10. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now Jesus is glorified. Now remember, when he's speaking this, he's speaking as Abraham's, one of Abraham's seed, speaking something that is not yet, but that will be. Now truly he had not yet entered into them, so definitely his glory had not come to them. But he's speaking that which shall be. They are mine and I am theirs, as he tells us in St. John 17. But now he tells us, I am glorified in them. Now he doesn't say that I'm going to be glorified by them, but I'm going to be glorified in them. Don't you see, it's not just your works. It's not just you telling other people about the Lord Jesus that brings glory to God. The height of his glorification is him personified in us. St. John 17:22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. So the glory that God has given to Christ, Christ turns around and gives it to the church. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. In glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The heavenly bridegroom has gone to prepare a place for an earthly bride. St. John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So the believers at his coming will not only be glorified, but they will enter into the stage and be able to bring the eternal weight of glory back to Christ, which the work of redemption has completed in their lives. Notice 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now there is going to be a public reception and presentation of the bride. Now you've seen me do it, and many preachers, well, you've been to many, many weddings. There's the bridegroom and the bride, when they say their vows and all that, and then the presentation comes, and then we go to the reception, and then we enjoy the food and the different stories about their life. Can you imagine, my friends? You have never been to a reception. You have never been to a wedding supper like the one you're fixing to go to. Now maybe you've been to one at the pavilion, or one over here in the fellowship hall, or one somewhere else, but let me describe this one just a little bit so you'll be able to get a clearer view. Imagine a reception where there is one table, but that table is thousands of miles long. One table, and it's thousands of miles long. And you are not the guest. You sisters won't be working in the kitchen. You won't be serving drinks. You're going to be served. You'll be back there getting the plates and the napkins and all that ready, but you're going to be sitting at the table. Hallelujah. For it is your reception. It is your marriage supper with the King. And you are sitting there. Oh my, I don't know how long it'll be. But I do know for a moment, as we could say in time, our remnants of our mortality will exist long enough to where we'll be able to express our last tears. And as we sit there and reach across the table and take a hold of one another's hands, battle-scarred veterans who stood for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the great King will come out and take his robe and wipe the tears from your eyes and say, don't cry no more, child. You've made it. Your battles are over. Praise be to God. Now imagine while this is going on in the realm of the paradise of God, all hell is breaking loose on this earth. But I don't plan on being here, do you? Bombs are going to go to drop and the beast power is going to be released. All this is going on. But we are in our preparation right now under the guidance and the Holy Ghost as it's moving upon the bodyguards. And they are leading us straight into the presence of the King himself. We will not, absolutely will not fall short of the glory of God, because he has predestinated us to walk in this journey, and in this journey we will be completed. Amen. Now what's this? Let me just show you this, how that the bride actually has already been united. You know this quote, I know, proving his word in 1964. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, watch close, in the days of Sodom, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man is being revealed. No more the church. No more the bride is called, see. In the day when the Son of Man is revealed. What? To join the church to the head. Unite. The marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through this. Don't you understand, friend, why folks cannot know the importance and the value of this message? It's not to get us to follow Brother Branham. It ain't about Brother Branham. It ain't about me and you as individuals. It's about an entirety of a program of God which he ordained before the foundation of the world. It involves more than Happy Valley Church. It involves more than me, more than you. It involves something that went on in God's thinking before there's ever one speck of stardust. Amen. The bridegroom call will come right through this when the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. The church has to be the Word. He is the Word. And the two unites together. And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. Not a clergyman. Oh my. Do you see what I mean? See, it's the Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down. Amen. In human flesh among us and make his word so real. It will unite the church and him as one, the bride, and then she'll go home to the wedding supper. Oh, praise be to God. Don't you understand? A pastor alone could not do that. An evangelist alone could not do that. An apostle could not do it. It must be Jesus himself that would come down. And what did he do? Those breaking of the seals. It was not Brother Branham trying to study and figure it out. It was Christ. And it revealed to you and I our inheritance of what had been lost from the whole glory, from the Garden of Eden. And now God restores back our position at the sounding of the seventh angel's message. Under that message of the hour, we become united again back to Christ the Word. Not join this church, follow this man, have this shaking, this quivering, this, that, the other. It is being born again. And the Son of Man himself coming down in this day and making it known. Praise be to God. Notice he says, then she'll go home to the wedding supper. She's already united. See, go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. Fill your flesh of all the flesh of the mighty men, because of the marriage of the Lamb has come. But the rapture is going to the wedding supper. Amen. Look, if you're not married today to Jesus, you better get it done. You better get it done, because you ain't going if you ain't married. Oh, I'm in love with him. He's my fiance. Fiance, nothing. You ain't going in no rapture. If he's just your fiance, he's got to be your husband. Christ has to be your husband. You've got to be his wife. Amen. When it does, it manifests the Son of Man again. Not church theologians, the Son of Man. The Word and the church becomes one. Whatever the Son of Man done, he was the Word. The church does the same thing. Now don't choke to death now. Brother Branham is gone, but the Son of Man is still here. That anointing is still here, anointing bodyguards. And not only anointing them, but anointing you if you'll let it. Now watch in Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, notice now she's moved from the stage of bride, of one which is a spouse, but she's now moved into the stage of wife. His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted. I'll tell you what, I about had a Holy Ghost fit this morning when I looked at this word. To her was granted, look at this word, to give something to someone, to supply, furnish necessary things, to give one to someone whom he already belongs. Amen. Some of y'all about to have a fit right now. To give one to someone to whom he already belongs. Oh, hallelujah to God. You already belong to Jesus, and he already belonged to you. You're just getting your rightful inheritance, and so is he. He's getting his inheritance, but you were already his. Amen. To give one to someone whom he already belonged. Look at these last two words here in the meaning of this word. To return. Wasn't that good? You ready for round two? To her was granted. She should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now listen what righteousness means. That which has been deemed right, so as to have force of law. Do you understand? This has nothing to do with your works. Listen to this, which has been established, ordained by law, a judicial decision. The fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. It was a judicial decision by God, decreed, a mandate by God, a judicial decision. You are righteous. It was given to you. It was, hallelujah, it was given to you. If you have that today, my brother, sister, it ought to make us want to live right. It ought to make us want to live holy. But not because of fear, because of the mandate of God. God judicially determined that you are righteous. It's the law. Not the Torah now, not the Mishnah. This is the New Testament declaration of the Almighty God. My bride is righteous. I determine it. I decree it. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the mandate of God, the decree of God, the law of God. Well, I read my Bible so many times a day. That's good, you should. I pray so many times. That's good, you should. Well, I give my tithes. That's good. That's all part of it. I help the widow. Now, I say kind words. That's good. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that was decreed by God. Can't you see why the elect can't miss this? How could God ever wait on our righteousness to be pure enough to be ready for a rapture? The very very day of the rapture, you're still going to be a human, and you may be down and you may be discouraged, but he ain't looking at your righteousness. He's looking at his mandate. I make it a law. I decree it is a law. My bride is righteous. It is my mandate. That which has been deemed right so as to have force of law. It ain't just saying, well, this is really good now. This is really right. God says, this is so right, I will have my force of law to back it up. What has been established, ordained by law, a judicial sentence, decision rather, a sentence of God. Just as God will condemn those who miss it, and his judicial decision will determine them for the tribulation period, so his judicial decision and sentence is the bride will be with me in glory. I determine it. Revelation 19:9, he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Not the marriage, but the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. As the Shulamite must have been a spectacle to the royal people of the court, the people who had royal blood, royal inheritance. They must have looked at her with awe and think, what does he see in her? We do the same thing. You know, a boy falls in love with a girl, or a girl with a boy, and maybe the boy's got a big old fat nose. Oh, my God, I got a wart over here on the side of it, kind of cross-eyed on one side, and maybe the girl's a pretty little girl, and say, what in the world is she seeing him? Well, in this situation, where's the one with the warts? We wasn't cross-eyed, we was blind. We was wretched, we was miserable, and we was naked. And the bad part about it was we didn't even know it. And Jesus says, I'm smitten. I'm totally smitten. Oh, I'm so smitten for her, I can't stand it. I've got to go down and get her. But you see, it is such a spectacle that angels look at it and they can't understand it. Watch this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Searching what of what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. Talking about the folks in the Old Testament prophesying there would come a time of great mercy and grace. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, which the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So when God works the work of redemption and reconciliation in a human life, the angels of God begin to ponder that person. And they look and they try to understand, because now they're thousands of years old as far as we go by date. So no telling how old they are. Thousands of years or maybe millions of years. But they're not omnipotent. They're not omnipresent. They don't know everything. They can't be it everywhere at one time. So it's as if though that God created them and give them a certain amount of knowledge and understanding. But when it come to dealing with the mystery of redemption, he withheld the understanding from an angelic realm of them just getting automatically, and they would get it by observance or by experiential knowledge of watching you and watching how God deals with you. Now in this, they would not get it by picking up and reading a book. Oh, do angels learn things when they hear preachers preach? No doubt they do. But the greatest thing is not going to be them listen to me or some other preacher preach, but it's going to be as they watch the mercy of God display himself as he deals with your life. And they look into it and try to comprehend. comprehend and understand what is God doing. God is using you as a theater to teach angelic beings. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Which things the angels desire to look into. Now, if you can comprehend it this morning, we are enjoying by experience and revelation the things that the angels look into and try to understand. Now, they've never been saved. They've never had the Holy Ghost. They've been holy all their entire creation and existence. And they serve God faithfully and true and well. But yet, they look at how He deals with you. And it's more than they can comprehend. They try to understand it. So God's given them instruction. Watch the way I deal with my people, and you will learn much. Can I have a few more minutes? Now watch. They look into. The words here that Peter uses is they look into. And the word means to stoop down near by anything, to bend over it, to bend forward, and to get real close to try to understand it. So here we are with the Holy Ghost. Here we are, the redeemable attributes of God. And the angels have bent over real close and they're stooping down trying to understand what is it about them. What is it about them that God just tears them all to pieces? What is it about them that the manifold wisdom of God is expressed as He deals with them daily? And He deals with every one of them a little bit different. I guarantee you one thing, I've sent a lot of angels home with a lot of homework. Don't laugh at me, some of y'all's worse than I am. They're trying to pass their Donnie exams. How in the world could God love such a man? How in the world could God do this out of the other? Well, you say, Brother Donnie, that sounds foolish. It's not foolish at all. Now watch the wisdom of God. So the work of redemption. Now, you know, theologians and great intellectual people would talk about redemption. Oh, that ain't nothing great to study about. Really? Angels of God are studying redemption. They don't study microbiology. They don't study mathematics. You don't find the angels of God sitting up in heaven with a trig book. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what they do study. God dealing with mortals that have been redeemed. Now can you imagine all the laws of God and all the great things of God and all the creation, all the botanists and scientists and archaeologists, anthropologists and all these ologists that we could go on and on and on. And yet none of that interests angels unless one of them's a predestinated seed. Amen. He may have to hear a little bit about anthropology and a little bit, amen, about this and that until he can minister to life that heir of righteousness. But what he's really concerned about is not how smart you are, whether you got a 4.0 or a 0.4. He's not interested in that. He's interested in what is it about you that God so loves. This mystery is so profound. The greatest intellects of heaven peer into this. And they meticulously look at it and study it. Wow. That is something. Look at that. Salvation. I mean, he become incarnate so he could go down. It's tremendous. I mean, it's just... And they imagine, as we say in our language, they just shake their heads and say, look at that. How we can get a hold to somebody. Oh, look at that. Amen. They were there when he spoke the worlds into existence. They were there when he created the suns, plural. They were there when he expanded the universe just by spoken word. And the scripture does not say they've ever looked into that. But they've looked into the Holy Ghost. Now look at him. Now look how different he is. Watch him. Now look at this one over here. Oh, look at that. My goodness. Well, look at this one. Well, look. Oh my goodness. Every one of them same thing. They have the same love. They have the same power, the same Holy Ghost. But yet have one of them. Oh, my. So they look. And they look and they hear you and I complain. God, you don't love me. God, you don't care for me. And they're thinking, did Jim Babb actually just say that? God, have you forgotten where I live? God, don't you remember me? And them angels saying, Jim Babb, do you know how many blessings I've ministered to you? You know how many times I've been sent down to help you? You know how much he thinks about you and how much he loves you? And they're just thinking, how can this be? Ephesians chapter 3 verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Unto the principalities and powers, which are spirits. Now, there may be some on the negative side to study as well. Demons I'm talking about. But what I'd like to focus on this morning are those who still remain in the presence of God. So they look and God will prove to them his manifold wisdom, not by creating a new world. God does not prove his manifold, and the word manifold is variegated, which means in many different aspects. It's like God is laying out a whole scenery of plants, or a whole kaleidoscope of colors and creation. And it will be like a landscaper. When a landscaper comes and looks at your property, and he said, well, all right, you need something with height, you need something a little bit low, you need something right in the center, you want something with this texture, with that texture, let's mix colors, let's go with a burgundy, or let's go with something deciduous, and something that'll maintain his leaves all year round, so you'll have something all the time. And they're looking and seeing how God deals with the church, and they're seeing this kaleidoscope of the wisdom of God that they did not see in the universe. And yet there's trillions of stars in the universe, but they don't go out there and save the moon and say, wow, look at this, how does that moon show reflect that sun? It's amazing. But they've spent years around you, watching God step by step, grace by grace, mercy by mercy. You imagine when they get together and angels get together and talk. I know, friends, it's going to blow you away. Can you imagine what they talk about? You, Lord Jesus. They talk about the expression of God's grace and how great it is to your life. And they marvel at the manifold wisdom of God in dealing with us. Thank you, Lord. Notice he says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers which shows us the differentiation of powers and orders in the angelic realm. Principalities and powers. So it is the various orders of good angels that are there still in heavenly places, that it might be made known by the church, or through the means or the theater of the church. Notice in Luke 15:10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Gold can go through the roof. The angel won't raise a foot to dance. Platinum can quadruple in 30 minutes. The angels will never shout about it. Come on. You can get your house payment paid off and this and that and the other. That's not what moves angels, but what moves angels? Mortals coming into the presence of God. Now they've got another subject to study. They just increased their college schooling and their exam. They've got one more. Why? Because they've seen God deal with millions. They've looked at God deal with a bride. They've looked at God deal with a foolish virgin. They're fixing to watch God deal with 144,000. And they look at all of that and say, how great. Yes, sir. How great. How variegated. How wonderful is this plan? And they're just... oh. I just cannot imagine angels getting together in heaven and their conversation is us. You imagine as they gather and they say, let me tell you something. Hey, you ain't gonna believe this. God had me over there, and I was dealing with Bobby Hayton about this such and such and so and so. And another angel said, what? That ain't nothing. You ought to hear how God had me dealing with Dale. Why Dale was going through this and that and the other, and Rob. Well, what about Rob? What about his wife? Yeah, I mean, they're just like, oh, this is absolutely wonderful. Have you ever seen anything like this in your life? Did you see that? He anointed that preacher, and that preacher got up there and said what they said coming to church. They were so down and so discouraged, and that preacher said it word for word, and they sat there thinking, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. What was it? And them angels said, I know that preacher. He dumber than a doorknob. He ain't got enough sense to do nothing like that. Where in the world did he get that? And then another spoke up and said, it's the manifold wisdom of God. Amen. It's the manifold wisdom. They just look at it and say, this is incredible. But look at how they treat him. Some of them don't even pray over their food. Some of them only read their Bible when they feel like it. Some of them ain't listened to tapes, and I couldn't even tell you how long it's been. They come to church sporadic, they pray sporadic. Everything about them is sporadic. But there's one thing that's not sporadic, and that's his faithfulness. How can he love them the way he does? They are so flawed. Are we flawed? I'm talking about your human part now, not your soul. Your human part. I got to find a place to stop here, but it's hard to stop when you're in heaven. To the intent, Lord God, let me read this one. I can't skip over this. It's too good. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. For I think that God has set forth the apostles as last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, to angels, and to men. Now look at the word spectacle. The Greek word is theatron, which is theater. A place in which games and dramatic spectacles are exhibited. Now there's three different categories of beings that are watching the spectacle. In the way that Paul mentions it here. The world, angels, and men. So the world, of course, is cosmos, world order. So the world order looks at the theater. Each of them have their own opinion and their own view. And of course they criticize the actors. They make fun of the actors because the actors still make mistakes. Amen. So they, oh, there ain't nothing to it. Get away from it. And then there are men who will look at it. They're in a different category than the cosmos. They will look at it and they may be receptive actually to be able to receive part of what the theater is setting forth, and they become an actor themselves. Now, then the other category is angels. So here the angels of God are actually watching the drama of God as it is put on in the form of theater by mortals as they're here on this earth. Now then, their soul, their attributes of God, but it is mortality. Of course, they're humans, and they go through all their scars and their issues and their hurts and their disappointments and so on. But yet, the main thing is to be able to portray the theater as close as possible to the way that the author wrote the playwright down. Now, I'm not no actor. I've never been in drama very much at all. But yet, I do know enough about it to know that in plays and things that I was in as a child, that if you're going to portray that, you almost have to become that character. And I was a little bitty boy at the Pentecostal church my uncle and them had. I was Tiny Tim in the Christmas play. Well, Tiny Tim didn't have much to do. Tiny Tim didn't have a great big part to carry. I didn't walk because I was packed, because I was crippled. So I didn't have much to do. But I'm so glad in this theater, I'm not Tiny Tim, I'm Tiny Donnie. Yeah. I'm still tiny as far as measured by great men, but now my part is much more important and it's much more serious. Praise the Lord. At the Christmas play at church, you know, people look at it, that's okay. But this is not a play, my friends. This is reality. May I say to each of you today, each one of you have your part. And Satan will do his best to pull you out of the theater. Or he will try to pull you from one stage and send you to another stage, which you don't belong in. You need to find where you need to be and stay there. And take your part and do exactly what God wants you to do and say, I'm going to complete this drama. The world will look at me, men will look at me, but more importantly, angels will look at me. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that saves her today has a part in this drama. The stage is now set. The curtains have been pulled back. You have been given your part in the Father's drama. Are you going to let anybody stop you? Are you going to let your own weaknesses, your shortcomings, your fears? Are you going to let you stop you? Are you going to act out your part faithfully? By God's grace, I'm going to. Let me go back to Ephesians 3:10 and I'll close. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. By the church, the manifold. And the word manifold is literally much variegated. It means greatly diversified wisdom. So instead of God dealing with this one and 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 this one, all exactly the same way with your makeup, with your failures and background and all that, he loves to diversify his grace. And the angels look at him and say, how he loves them. Look how merciful. Look how forgiving. Look how longing he is. Well, I imagine if they could talk to us a little bit this morning, they'd say, you think you folks are getting excited about the rapture? You ought to see him. Praise God. In the redemption of the church, there is not merely one phase of wisdom. There was wisdom in the plan before the foundation of the world. There was wisdom in the incarnation. There was wisdom in the choice of Savior. There was wisdom in the choice of the way by which they'd come back, by the way of blood, every step of the way. What do they see? Wisdom after wisdom after wisdom. Justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost. What do they see in the church ages? Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. And the whole thing is God displaying his wisdom every day. Get in your mind now. Every day, the angels carrying these angelic ink pens and notepads. Wow. We're teaching them something every day. I know, friends, this is blowing your mind. You say, them angels that don't know. But he never let them know this. You are their teachers. Let me close with this. Yeah, I think I'll go ahead and say it. The church is the means of angelic enlightenment. The church is the means of angelic enlightenment. As the Shulamite was the means of Solomonic enlightenment. They thought they knew Solomon. They thought they knew the type of women Solomon liked. But this Shulamite is going to now enlighten them to a type they didn't know Solomon liked. They thought he liked all rich women, all uppity up women, all women of royal class. Don't get some kind of puffed up attitude in your mind. Bless God, I'll tell you one thing. If a woman comes in here and she's got on a mini dress, we'll throw her out. No, you won't. Let's catch her, then we'll clean her. That's the best way I found out to clean fish. I'll tell you one thing. People come in and you have a cigarette smoke on their breath. In this holy place, well, let's get them to God and they'll get rid of that breath. Come on, saints. Let's not get a self-righteous attitude. Oh, we shouldn't have to sit together with sinners. I reckon we should. This is where sinners can come and find God. This is where people can come and make peace with God. And the angels of God will rejoice as they see another sinner come to God. Let me close. Can you imagine as God gives Moses instruction? I want you to build a box. I want you to make it so tall, so wide, so long. I want you to take gold plates and put over it. I want you to put rings in the ends. I want you to make golden staves out of acacia wood. I want you to put this inside of there, and then I want you to make two cherubims. This is the way I want you to make them, Moses. I want you to make them facing each other with their heads looking down. As if though they're looking into the ark to try to see what's in there. Why didn't the cherubims face up this way? Why didn't they face this way or that way? But their heads are down facing the ark. Lord Jesus, children, don't you understand when we get there? And the angels will vacate. The angels will leave out of the presence of God. And they will actually start circling the earth with their heads bowed. Because we're singing Amazing Grace. And the angels don't know how to sing that song. And they will be above the earth, hovering as it was, with their heads bowed, looking at what? The Redeemer and the redeemed. The ark has come full circle. Praise be to God. Oh, it won't be long. He'll reach and take you by the hand. You'll step out. In a glorified body. And people will look at you and say, Matt don't even look the same. I reckon not. He's 18 years old. Jim don't look the same. Skip don't look the same. Jesus reaches and grabs a hold of us. And starts pulling us into the presence of God. And the angels of God. Your Royal Highness, they're not just doing that to him. They are doing that to you. My lady. My lady. You are his love, in case you don't know it. He loved you before the world began. He has decreed by his mandate, you are righteous. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you today, Lord Jesus. Soon he'll come get his children. We no longer need preachers praying for us, preaching to us. But the hand of the Lord Jesus himself will take you. And the kiss of heaven will change your body. Praise God. And he will present to himself a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. And the angels of God will stand there in awe as they see the manifold wisdom of God
now made immortal flesh. Now the purpose of God will be so complete that Jesus can say, now I receive my further glory. You have brought it to me, my bride. You think you're the only one going to get something out of this rapture? Let me tell you, no. He's going to get something that even the Father can't give him. He's going to get something that angels can't give him. Only you can give him. The glorification in the saints' bodies. Lord Jesus, I hope, Lord, and trust this has been a blessing to your people. I feel with all my heart, Lord, you directed me to go this way today. You say, Lord, I didn't have this together. It wasn't my thought to go this way, but I believe it was your direction. Lord, I know them angels are right here this morning. It ain't like we're going to wait to see them after a while, but they're right here in the building right now, wanting to minister to the saints of God. If there's one here today who's not saved, may the Spirit of God move upon their hearts. If there's one without the Holy Ghost, if there's one that's sick or discouraged, whatever it is, may the angels of God come and minister to the heirs of salvation. Oh, Lord Jesus. I know, Lord, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming looking at it. But we believe it's true. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. So your manifold wisdom to be displayed in our lives. Thank you, Lord God. As you created all the animal forms on the earth, all the species of insects. Truly, Lord, if man can learn from an insect, as you told us, go thou sluggard and consider the ant. So if a man could learn from an insect, certainly a man can learn from an angel. And may I turn it around and say, an angel could learn from a man. Well, I can't teach him nothing about the laws of the universe. I don't understand that. If I was to sit down today and talk with an angel, I couldn't teach him nothing about the vastness of the universe. But if he wants to talk about grace, I can talk to him about grace. If he wants to talk about mercy, I can talk to him about it. Because I've experienced so much in my life. We love you today, Jesus. May my life be a part of the great theater of God. And then I pray, Lord, I may like to be remembered today before the Lord. Maybe you've got a part of the Father's drama, but you become so busy and so caught up in life and various things that's hindered you. You'd like to be more consecrated to God today to play out that part of the drama. Would you just raise your hand to him? Amen. God bless you, friends. The angels are in constant communication with the church. Now, I don't want to scare you now, but the angels of God are in communication with the church. Ministering spirits sent from the presence of God. They're in communication with those beyond this realm. They're created beings that are sent to administer the will of God. May you pick up your part of the play, as it were, the act of the theater. May God write that so in your life that you become that person. I've read some on actors and drama, and they say really in order to become a real effective part, if you're going to act John Adams or Abraham Lincoln or whoever more, those movie stars, what they do is they study the life of that individual. They study their little quirks as a human, and they study words that they would say and things that they would do and their mannerisms. And you watch that certain actor and he plays this part and this part and this part, and you'll still see their human element coming through. But the better they're absorbed
into the character they're playing, the more perfectly they can play it. Our human element will always come through in this theater. But the more you find your place, sisters, as a housewife, you brothers as a husband, a farmer, factory worker, whatever you are, preacher, deacon, trustee, the more God wants the drama to be reflected through your heart. Your humanity will always be there. That little laugh that you have, that certain way you move your hand, we'll recognize it no matter what. But the more you're able to get out of the way, the more He can act through you. How many wants that with all your heart? Let's stand together. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Heirs of salvation. I'd like for you to lay your hand on the person standing by you, or put your hand on the shoulder, take them by the hand, whichever you feel comfortable in doing. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters in this drama, in this theater of God. God in His mercy will help us. We say, I fail my part, Brother Donnie, I've let down. But remember, He's so merciful, it's part of the manifold wisdom of God not to leave you when you mess up. Just let God reinstate your part. Reignite the fire in you. Let it burn, burn, and burn. Heavenly Father, we pray for one another today, Lord. Lord, I pray for this visible audience, but I pray for the invisible. For I know that there's many, many more that will stream and archive this service than what there is present here today. Not hundreds, but thousands, Lord. I pray, dear God, that You would help them. Oh, Lord Jesus, this drama isn't entitled Donnie Reagan. It isn't written by Donnie Reagan, for Donnie Reagan, by Donnie Reagan, that Donnie Reagan could be the main part. Neither is it about any other preacher in this message, though some of them wish it was. They think in their mind it's all about them, but it's not, Lord. It's not all about one man. It's not all about one church. It's not all about one ministry of some preacher somewhere. It's about the great program of God. Angels of God are not just looking at ministers and trying to understand the profound wisdom of God, but they study the smallest little church member. They study that man that has problems with habits in his life. They study that sister that loves God, but yet she struggles with cutting her hair or wearing makeup or dressing in a way that she shouldn't do it. And she knows it's not right for her to do it, but she struggles because she's not received that overcoming power. The angels of God watch God deal in His mercy to that sister. The angels of God watch God deal with a young man that will struggle with pornography in his life, and he knows that he shouldn't do it. And he makes up his mind over and over again, I'm not going to do it again. I promise God, I'm not going to do it. And yet fall in the weakness of it, Lord. The angels of God watch as the Holy Spirit will deal with that young man and convict him and have a man of God to say something about it. They watch and they marvel at the sovereignty of the wisdom of God. Lord, we could go all day giving the examples of Your wisdom. And Lord, we just want You to know how grateful we are that You have dealt with us in our lives. Even though there is a commonality among all of us in certain things that we're very much alike, and yet in other things we are so diverse. And Lord, if You had made grace in one just certain particular way that You deal with this particular makeup and this particular thing, and You forgive these only types of sins, Lord, a lot of us would have been left out. But You variegated the display of wisdom and grace. Lord, You'd reach down to those of the horrible past. You'd reach down to those who were pretty good people but still were lost. You'd reach down to so many around the world, Lord God, of every tribe and kindred and tongue and people, that Your grace might be displayed, Lord. Today, Father, we want to say thank You. We want to say hallelujah. We want to say praise be to God. Oh, Father, to think that the angels of God would hover near our lives, hover near our homes, hover near our walks with bowed bowed heads and watching the wisdom of God as it deals with our lives as mortals. And yet we would think, Lord, we would look at ourselves and think we are worthless and nobody even knows we're alive. But the angels of God know about us absolutely every day. Oh, Jesus, help us, I pray, Lord. Help me, Father, to take my part of this drama. Lord, that I can play it out. Lord, I've had to play parts that was painful at times. I've had to play parts, Lord, when I was misunderstood even by my brothers. But Lord, help me that I'll always follow your will. Lord Jesus, lead me, I pray, Lord. Help me to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Grant it, I pray, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look this way now. She now enters through the gate. He's met her. Took her out of the palanquin. By now she's able to smell the aroma of all the foods. No doubt foods that she's never even heard of before, much less eat. She sees the decoration all down through the streets. She walks arm in arm with the king. And he tells her, this is all for you. You mean you did? All this for me. I know lilies are one of your favorite flowers. And I know you love myrrh. And I know all this is for you. Can you imagine when he takes you by the hand and he introduces you into this city and he says, look, sweetheart, this is yours. And we look around and said, you did this for me. It's for you. It's got your name written all over it. Praise God. Don't you want to be there, friend? Oh, when we feel this presence like this, I wish we could go right now, Brother Mike. I hate to dismiss out of this. I wish we didn't have to go home. I wish we had to go eat lunch. But Dad, I wish we could go to a supper. Forget lunch. Praise God. Hey, let's sing together. Come away, my love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I hope you got a little blessing today from the service. Encouragement to you.
Tables dressed in linen, the banquet is prepared. A host of angels gathered for the celebration there. The bride is almost ready. In spotless white array, a hush falls over heaven as the groom begins to say. When I could give to you my name, eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. I have waited for this day when I could give to you my name. Eternity eternity awaits us. Come away.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet our Lord in the air. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you so much for your mercy, Father. As we go from this place today, I pray that each of us would sincerely look at our hearts and our lives and make sure we're at peace with you, Lord. We don't have the promise that we'll be gathered here again today or tomorrow or the next day or thereafter. But we do have a promise if we live true and we are faithful, we will be gathered again. Where the roses never fade. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May there not be a one of us missing there, Lord. I look out on this audience today, Lord. I don't see a one of them that I wouldn't want to spend eternity with. Men, women, boys, girls. There's not a one here today, Father, that I wouldn't want to see in that great day. May we be there, Lord, where the circle will not be broken. Go with us now. Bring us back at the appointed time, I pray. Keep us by your grace and mercy, Father. Thank you for the word today, Lord. I can't say for what it done for anybody else, but it has so ministered to me, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. Go with us now, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name. Praise God.
I'm kind of home.
Amen. Sing it as you go.
Sick,
God bless you.
I love you in the Lord. A country.
Amen.
To which I'm never
been before.
Oh, Samuel, will there be spoken and time to lay.